Hello, 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 and welcome to this impromptu edition of the Jolly Heretic. I have to report some very sad news, and some very sad news which I think deserves an impromptu live stream, and that is, unfortunately, that I was informed today that James Dewey Watson, Jim Watson, one of the only living geniuses, the discoverer of the structure of DNA, without whose discovery the world would be so different, the Nobel Prize winning James Watson has died. He died yesterday. He was 97 years old. And obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to his widow, Liz, and his sons, Duncan and Rufus. This is a huge loss, and it's particularly a loss because of the way in which he was treated towards the end of his life. He, as some of you may know, I wrote the last biography. Yes, he was 97. The last biography of James Watson, and it was published a few weeks ago. And it was called Genius Under House Arrest, The Cancellation of James Watson. And in it, I looked at the nature of genius, the specific intelligence and personality profile that is associated with genius. I showed that Jim was very much congruous with that kind of psychological profile, i.e. high but skewed intelligence. His spatial intelligence was so poor that he had trouble learning to drive a car, and he was never able to peel an orange properly, apparently. So skewed intelligence, but skewed and high in a particular area. That he had elements of autistic traits, which he writes about implicitly in his various memoirs, such as Avoid Boring People and Genes, Girls and Gamow. I suppose it is a testimony to his obsessiveness and to his special interests that he wrote an entire memoir about the various girls whom he fancied at various points. ADHD and restlessness, which allows you to make to be flitting between different thoughts, and so to make connections between different things in a way that ordinary people don't, a strong sense of intuitiveness and a desire to follow his own intuitions, being extremely knowledgeable and widely read, such that he was able to make connections between different things in a way that most people don't, most scientists don't. They just focus on their own area and they don't really read outside it. And I suppose also just a certain bloody-mindedness. A desire to offend is perhaps too strong a term, but certainly being prepared to cause offence if necessary. And these traits don't come together very often, and they don't come together very often, you know, in one person where all the circumstances coalesce such that an enormous breakthrough, a world-shattering breakthrough, is made. And with Jim, they did. And throughout his career, he caused offence. He would be blunt. E.O. Wilson went through a phase of hating him because Jim was so dismissive of anything. Basically, it wasn't genetics. But because they cause offence, this means that when they come up with a new, it's a kind of a side effect. Coming up with a new idea involves breaking boundaries, so you have to be low in conscientiousness and be able to think outside the box. Coming up with a new idea involves contesting accepted wisdom, and so you offend against vested interests. Coming up with a new idea often involves an element of neuroticism. And if you read my book, The Genius Under House Arrest, or his own memoirs, he attests to these kinds of very strong negative feelings, and almost something a little bit like depression, I suppose, a despair anyway, at certain points in his life. He and one of the very interesting things about him, and this is true of many geniuses, is their discovery, their breakthrough, is not in the area in which they are trained. So Jim did this peculiar degree where he started at university as a teenager and just did all kinds of different subjects, almost like he was still at school, but eventually focused on zoology. No cycling nowhere. It's not been reported in the news yet. I am the first person to report this information. It's been told to me by a good friend of Jim's. The internet searches do not say he has died, the gentleman that has said that, because I'm announcing it. So that's why they don't say he has died, because they don't know yet, because I'm telling you this. Often the area which they make their breakthrough in is not the area in which they are trained. And that's the fascinating thing about him. That's the fascinating thing about Jim, that he was a zoologist by training, but his breakthrough was, of course, in chemistry, in which he had a lot of informal training and a passionate outside interest, but no like really formal qualification. And that's the difference between the midwit academic and the genius academic. The midwit academic just does the area that they research and just focuses on that and doesn't think outside of it and doesn't really come up with anything original and doesn't take risks and doesn't search for what Jim called academic gold or scientific gold. But the genius type, the creative academic, they are very, very high in openness. They read very strongly around their subject. They are interested in all kinds of different things. They are fascinated by the truth as an end in itself, rather than by a means to advance in their scientific career. So they will tend to start looking at things that are outside of their area of formal training. And then they will see the connections between whatever it is that they are researching and other things. They will cross domains, as it were, cross academic domains. And that is where new knowledge is generated from. So they're a very different kind of person from the run-of-the-mill midwit academic that just, you know, does his biology degree and his biology MA and his biology doctorate and then just researches biology all his life. E.O. Wilson was a bit like that. His main contribution was, or his main training was in the study of ants, but his huge contribution was in sociobiology, was in the biological study of the human mind. And that was because he saw the connection, the crossover between his research on ants and the nature of humans. And in the end, by the way, James Watson and E.O. Wilson made up and kind of became friends, although they went through a period of not liking each other. Hello, Fresh Toast. Unfortunately, he has, it's been a long life. And as many of you will know, in 2007, he had a career of offending people. And even, 1952 was his breakthrough with the discovery of the structure of DNA. And then he had a career of offending people. It's a byproduct of being that kind of original thinker, of that psychology, that you will offend people and you will look into areas that other people will regard as offensive or regard as dodgy or regard as beyond the pale, because you are fascinated by the pursuit of truth and you are fascinated by the pursuit of truth almost as a semi-religious goal. And when he realized the structure of DNA, he talks about just lying on his bed, looking up, having visions of the structure of DNA, like he was having almost a religious experience. That's the kind of people these people are. They're extremely unusual, creative people that make original connections that normal people don't. And they are, of course, central to civilization. And all of the great innovations that we have the real major innovations have been made by people like this. And they were tolerated for a long time. And people, and Jim specifically was tolerated, despite the fact that he was known to go there, known to be a bit offensive, known to tickle them up, because the brilliant, his breakthrough was so important and so brilliant and so groundbreaking. And we kind of understood in the wake of World War II and whatever, and when civilization is at risk, that you have to tolerate people like that. You need people like that. And I suppose when life is too good and when life is dominated by more values associated with putting equality and harm avoidance and not offending people about everything. And you forget how fragile civilization can be and how easily it can be destroyed. Then such people just become an irritant. And such people hurt people's feelings. And this is considered terribly bad. And you can gain social capital by persecuting such people. And that is, of course, what happened in 2007. I don't mean to remind you of what he said. And he was cancelled. And he was forced to resign his positions at the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. And then and he was condemned around the world. And he was so upset and he was so hurt. Because I can't emphasize enough that Jim was a man of the left. Jim's parents were ardent Democrats. Jim's father was an atheist in a time when in America that was extremely rare. And he was so upset and so hurt at all this, because as far as he was concerned, he was just telling the truth to somebody and to a journalist who had lived with him in this working environment he set up for young scientists. And this all ended up in the Sunday Times. And he was cancelled, and that was that. And it got to a point where he had to sell his Nobel Prize medal. And interestingly, a Russian billionaire bought it and gave it back to him. And then he, in 2019, went on American Masters for an interview, and he was asked if he changed his mind. And this is the thing. He was honest, Jim. He was honest. He was blunt. He said what he thought. And he said, no, he hadn't. And so then he was completely defenestrated. His honorary titles were withdrawn. Things at Cold Spring Harbor that involved his name were renamed. All that sort of thing. Completely cancelled. And obviously he was in a situation where he was living in a house that belongs to Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. And so you don't want to cause any more offence. And you know that you will cause offence. Apparently, Jim used to sort of say things and then go, like he had sort of truth Tourette's. He couldn't, and perhaps that's what a lot of creative scientists have. They have truth Tourette's. And he couldn't help himself. And so, therefore, better to say nothing. So for his last for the end of his life, he really didn't say much at all for the last 6 years. Just nothing. And when I met him in 2023 and went to his house, he had all these things to say. He was still sharp. He was still intelligent. There was still that glint in his eye that you get in the eyes of intelligent people. And he still had all kinds of interesting things to say. And all kinds of interesting things to contribute. But of course, he couldn't. He was a genius under house arrest, in a sense. He'd already been cancelled twice, and he daren't bring any more stress to his family, and he daren't bring any more opprobrium. And so he was just left to shut up, which I think is a tremendous shame, a tremendous shame. But those were the last years of his life. And a friend of his suggested to me about writing a book in which I basically vindicate, or try to vindicate, because perhaps he was wrong, James Watson. And also look at his psychology and the extent to which it was archetypal of a genius. And that's what I did. And it was published last month, The Genius Under House Arrest, The Cancellation of James Watson. And so I looked at this. As I said to you, I found that he was very much the archetypal genius. I looked into this, and I looked at there was a controversy in the year 2000 as well over various remarks he made at the University of California at Berkeley. And I went through all of them. And as far as I could see, everything he said was correct. But yet it is such a crushing indictment of the West at the moment, although hopefully things are shifting now. Hopefully we're realizing it's gone too far It's become crazy and things are changing now. But it's a crushing indictment. I see the year 2007 as a turning point, as an inflection point, where it was made clear by woke that not that if you go against the dogmas of woke, then not even Jim Watson is safe. Not even basically the only living genius, not even the person without whom the world would just be unbelievably different. Not even he is safe. And his cancellation served as a very public and very frightening example that if the woke that we, through our decadence and our negligence, have allowed to take over the Western world, if it can do that to Jim Watson, to someone of the importance of Jim Watson, it will think nothing of crushing you, of destroying you, of trying to get you fired, of trying to get you friendless and cancelled and just nothing. It will pass over your body gleefully. And it was that turning point from being like a shift of generations, a shift of the influence of certain forces. It was that, and that was 2007, and that was when you really knew, no, you can't joke about things, you can't express things in a lighthearted way, you can't state certain facts, or you're in a kind of soft Soviet Union, and for your own good and for the good of your family and for the good of your social life, you'd better shut up. And this was made absolutely clear in 07 and then hammered home, absolutely hammered home in 2019. So it's very saddening. You don't get many Jim Watsons. You don't get many geniuses. You don't get many people that are able to do what he did. And the consequences of it in terms of the human genome as well, which he was hugely involved in, the Human Genome Project, set that up, the Human Genome Project. We all know how important that is. That was Jim. All of these people that have been able to have targeted therapies for cancer, Jim. All of these crimes that have been able to be solved by DNA technology, the use of it, Jim. It's all Jim. And it does seem to be that what he said to me was that it really was him that realized the structure of DNA. I mean, Francis Crick was his co-author on the paper, and it's all Watson and Crick and the other guy from New Zealand. But it was seemingly Jim that had the idea and lay there on his bed with images of DNA floating around in the ceiling and, as I said, almost like a religious experience. So this is very, very sad. He lived a long life. He was 97 years old. He found happiness in his personal life relatively late, over 40. He had two children, two sons, one of whom is schizophrenic, and it was that fact which inspired him to want to understand more about the human genome and to make sense of things and so on, so that something good could come of it. He has grandson, so I hope they're all okay. I have, unless there are any questions, I have nothing much else to say, really. And so, yeah, rest in peace, Jim. Goodbye.